Blog Talk Radio.
Savior Jesus Christ, and we're so thankful that you were able to join us. We are a Christian internet church, and a local church, and we meet on the internet every Wednesday evening and Friday evening at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States of America. And we also meet on Sundays at 12:30 p.m., as you know. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, we take Holy Communion together as the body of Christ. And so I would urge you now to quickly go get your elements and come back, because we are about to partake of the body of the Lord. Amen. We're about to do what he says, do as often as you will in remembrance of me. Amen. And that's what we do. We obey the Holy Scriptures. We honor the Lord Jesus Christ. He is first and foremost here. There are some places where you will find other agendas, but not here. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, God the Holy Spirit, the Word of God is found in the King James Version of the Bible. That's the center of this ministry. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, that's the center of this work of God. It is a legacy of love. It is a legacy that God has left to us through our founder, the late Dr. Pat Holliday, as many of you know. And we are grateful to have been chosen by the Lord to carry forth this ministry in Jesus' name. It's an honor and a privilege to serve the Lord Jesus in any capacity at all. When I was a little girl, I served the Lord in the church, in the local church, as the secretary of the Sunday school. I think that was one of my first so-called official positions. And I continued to do that until I left to go to college. And when I joined a church in the city where I attended college, I did the very same thing. And I continued there until I graduated. You see, it's important to begin your walk with the Lord as soon as possible, because as life goes on, and as you mature, you'll be influenced by the world and its system. And you'll have to find a way to succeed, to press forward, to move out in God in spite of the challenges that you face. It's important to be anchored in the Lord before you reach those challenges of life. When hormones and new people and new ideas and new ways of thinking that are different from how you were raised challenge what you believe. So we encourage everyone to bring their children to church. When you gather around to listen, have your children there with you. They need to hear the word of the Lord. They have spirits too, you see. And it's not just the adults. It's the children, as young as they are, even in the womb. I was taken to church in the womb, and you see the difference that it has made. So we encourage you to not just show up yourself. Don't just come and sit by yourself and leave them out to do whatever they're doing. No, bring the whole family together. You know, it's the family that has Jesus Christ as its center, that honors the word of God, that survives and is sustained no matter what life may bring. Amen? So we are the family of God. Bring your natural family with you when you come before the Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So now I believe everyone has their element, and this is the time when we come before the Lord and we repent of the sins of our own hearts. Everybody has something that they wish to bring before the Lord. And so these few moments that we're going to be quiet are for that very purpose. Heavenly Father, we ask forgiveness for our sins, for our trespasses, for our omissions, for our judgments, for our words, for our actions, for our beliefs, for our behaviors that do not please you. We ask forgiveness, Father, for the things that we participated in, even if just in thought, that were contrary to the Scriptures, and we ask for your forgiveness. We turn away from those things now, Lord, We renounce them, and we denounce them as sin. We call them sin, Lord. We don't say we made a mistake. No, we call it what it is. We're not going to blame it on the devil because we had to come in agreement with him in order to do it. So we ask you to forgive us. We come out of agreement with Satan and with his power. And we come back in agreement with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Godhead, with the Holy Word of God. And we thank you, Father, for touching our lives. The Bible says if we come before you and we repent of our sins, you are just and faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Partake of the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Partake of the cup. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you and give you praise. We want to thank you for the offering, Lord. We thank you for everyone that gave, and we thank you, Lord, for its use in your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you who are on the internet, if you're on the first page, you can scroll down to the bottom. There's a PayPal sign there. Or across the banner, you will notice giving on any page. Across the banner at the top, it says giving at Miracle Internet Church. Please do click that link and give your tithes, offerings, or donation of love. Amen. Thank you so very much. We're going to proceed into our prayer meeting now. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for the word of God. We want to thank you for the warring, linking angels and the wall of fire that surround us and the praising angels, in Jesus' name. We take on the armor of God, Father, and we cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And from our position, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we take the territory in Jesus' name, and we bind Satan, the strong man, and all of his underlings. We close the portals in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We close and seal every demonic open door. We bind the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, passivity, distractions, confusion, rebellion. We bind mammon and the transference of evil spirits. We bind death and destruction and oppression and depression. We bind mammon and the transference of evil spirits everywhere in Jesus' name. We bind all idolatry, temptation to sin, mind control, error. And we bind every spirit that denies the deity of Jesus Christ and his blood atonement. We bind every form of godliness which denies your power, Lord. We close the open doors in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We close and seal every demonic door in our lives, and we cut ourselves free from every soul tie, ley line, silver cord, garland, chain, fetter, net, yoke, stock, and bond of the enemy. Every snare of the devil is broken. We break the cage, and we set the captive free. We bind all witchcraft attacks, technology attacks, all retaliation of the enemy. We bind the prince of the power of the air, the culture of deception, and all water spirits in Jesus' name. We bind all Morgellons attacks, all Python and Leviathan attacks in Jesus' name. And we give you praise, glory, and honor, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We lift up the peace of Jerusalem and all who are in authority and all true Christians. And we pray for President Trump, his family, his administration, and his campaign for reelection. We thank you, Father, that though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. We take authority, dominion, and power over the work of every witch, warlock, sorcerer, diviner, and pagan, every Satanist, and we bind all mind control, jinxes, potions, bewitchments, death, destruction, sickness, pain, and torment, all hexes, vexes, spells, and charms in Jesus' name, all ungodly incantations, and all witchcraft in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the word of God. And we give you praise. We ask, Lord, that we allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts and in our minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. We take authority, dominion, and power over every attack against our mind, especially during this period, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the warfare sent from the other camp. We bind everything sent against us from Satan. We bind everything sent against us through the media in the name of Jesus Christ. All of those thoughts that have bombarded us, Father, some that have even gone into our hearts. We take authority, dominion, and power over those spirits, and we bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. We command them to go into the cage to the feet of Jesus, and we command them to come up and out now in Jesus' name. All of those ungodly thoughts that we have received from the culture and from the atmosphere, take a deep breath and cough those out. In Jesus' name. Everybody cough that out now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of the people of God. All of those thoughts from the news media, from everybody's gossip, from everybody's presumption, all the lies of the enemy. We take authority, dominion, and power over every lie and every deception in the name of Jesus Christ. We command them to come up and out of everyone. All of those lies, all of those heresies, everything that is not the truth of God, by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, we take authority, dominion, and power over thoughts we have thought about others and about ourselves that are not the truth either. We bind every lie and every presumption and every judgment that is not of God in Jesus' name. Deep breath and cough. Cough those things out in Jesus' name. We're asking the Father in the name of Jesus to bring our focus back to himself and the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Holy Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, the Bible tells us to set our affection on things above, not on things beneath, Lord. And so today we choose to come in agreement with your word, Father, and to set our minds, set our hearts, and set our focus on the Godhead and your kingdom and your holy word. We pull our focus away, Lord, from everything that has confused us and distracted us and held us, Lord, held our attention that we should not have given it to the first time, to tell the truth, Lord. It has held us mesmerized. And so we bind that mesmerized spirit in the name of Jesus, that mind-controlling devil we bind in Jesus' name. We command him to loose the minds of God's people. Cough him out now in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for all of the backslidden in miracle outreach ministries, if perhaps the Lord will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. We lift them up to you, Father, whomever they may be in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask that you do business, Lord, that you deal with them, that you touch their hearts, that you convict them, that you show them the error of their ways. This is not the hour to backslide in. In this day and time, if one backslides, they may not get the opportunity to come back into the body of Christ. So, Father, this is crucial, and we ask you to send forth your hosts, send forth your mercies, Lord, your tender mercies and bring the backslider back into the kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ. We plead the blood of Jesus over them, and we say, Satan, they are not your property. They belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for them, for during this hour, bringing them back into the kingdom, out of the highways and byways of life and out of the sin that they have found pleasure in Jesus' name. We bind up their season of sin and their pleasure in it in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you to make it, Father, most distasteful and disgusting to them in the name of Jesus, that they might repent. We lift their hearts before you, Lord, and we ask you to deal with those hardened hearts in Jesus' name and to soften them with your word. We ask you to heal those that are brokenhearted. We ask you to encourage those that have become discouraged and have turned away. We ask you, Lord, to revive the hope of those who have become hopeless in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we give you praise for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We pray for the saints to grow in obedience to the scriptures, for obedience is better than sacrifice. Saints, join me in your prayer languages. Father, we pray for saints to listen carefully to the message so that they will understand and apply the message to their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Open those ears that they can hear, Father. Give them eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to believe, and a mind to receive what the Holy Spirit says to the church in Jesus' name. Praying for the proud to humble themselves, for pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We take authority, dominion, and power over every Leviathan spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. We strip you of your armor, and we put out your fire. We break your jaw. We bind the that king of pride in Jesus' name. We command him to be bound now in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask you, Lord, to help your people find humility. The Bible says that we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We thank you, Father. Let your light go throughout our hearts, Lord, showing us all the places where we continue to walk in pride. For you resist the proud, Lord, but you give your grace to the humble in Jesus' name. And, Father, we are praying for the saints to keep themselves in the love of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, Father, we just want to thank you for this word this morning. This is a word that everybody needs. If for some reason we think it doesn't apply now, we need to listen anyway, because sooner or later we will have to share its truths with someone as we witness, or we will need to apply it to our own very souls, to our own lives, Father. So we thank you for the word that you have given us today, Lord. It's a very powerful word. It can transform a life forever. You know, all you need to do, Lord, is say a few words to us, and it can change everything about us. And we thank you for the opportunity to hear this word today, Lord. We thank you for an opportunity to hear this word today, Lord. And the title of this message is, What If It Doesn't Work Out? What if? What if it doesn't work out? Well, what if it doesn't work out? But then again, why would it fail? Have you ever faced a situation that was a real challenge? Have you ever thought that the situation just may not work out at all? Most of us, no matter our age, have experienced this fear at some time. The Word of God holds many answers and solutions to this dilemma if we will avail ourselves to His holy counsel. Job chapter 3, verse 25. Job chapter 3, verse 25. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. The thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen?
Amen.
So, many times in life, we experience disappointment, failed attempts to satisfy the hopes or expectations that we have. Sometimes we fail. Well, perhaps you didn't get promoted to the next grade, or perhaps you didn't make it into college, or just not the college of your choice. Maybe you didn't get that job or that promotion. Maybe that young man did not marry you, and maybe that young lady found someone else. Maybe someone left your life through death. Maybe. Maybe you got caught in a situation that you couldn't get out of, and it stopped you from progressing in other things in life and endeavors. Maybe you were trying to get healed, and it didn't happen yet. Just maybe. Sometimes, you know, we do fail. Perhaps we encountered lack or insufficiency in some area. Perhaps we lost strength or energy to continue. There could have been some negligence of duty, or we became discouraged and gave up. We just quit trying. We quit. That happens. The way became too difficult. Too many hindrances. Too many roadblocks. So we finally threw in the towel. This is never a pleasant situation, but sometimes it does bring relief. At least we can say that we tried. We sit back for a season and we rationalize about our failure. Oh, well, maybe next time things will go right. We have learned from our mistakes, we hope. Well, before you know it, it's time to start again, and we must face the music once more. We ask ourselves, what if it doesn't work? We realize that we are facing the same issue as before, but what if this time it doesn't work out? Well, the more we think on it, the more entrenched in inertia we become, until failing is all that we can think about. What if we fail? What if? The fear of disappointment and failure has stopped many prosperous enterprises before they ever began. It has stopped marriages, ministries, motherhood, business, schools, homes, and we can go on forever. Much talent that God has sent into the earth ended up in the cemetery without having bloomed in a lifetime. This is a crisis. The world desperately needs every gift that God has given to us, no matter who he placed the gift in. We need God. We need his gift. So let's convene at 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. We'll be there but for a moment. What if we fail? and verse 9. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. By his own strength shall no man prevail. Let's go to the book of Psalms, Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Amen. Psalm 127, verse 1. And all of you that are out there that are listening and your marital relationship is not as you had hoped, maybe this is the place that can help you to go on. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Amen?
Amen.
Either the Lord is going to build our godly relationships that we've talked about before. You know, not so long ago, the Lord gave us a word about peace with one another. And we determined and we learned that our relationships need to be centered in Jesus Christ our Lord and his holy word. Our relationships need to be centered in Christ. And if they are not, we need to seek the Lord concerning that matter. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17. And verse 5. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh his flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. And whose heart departeth from the Lord. Unfortunately, many of us have gotten our eyes off on the president, whoever the president happens to be at the time. He's the man, he's our man, he's the one we're going to trust in. Well, that's not what this scripture says. It says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. That means your eyes and your hope is on a person and no longer on the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Verse 7, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. And whose hope the Lord is. So if you're trusting in the government, if you're trusting in some government official, if you're trusting in your employer, or in your bank or credit union, or the stock market, or your family, or some inheritance, perhaps you need to consider these scriptures, because God is not wrong. He's never wrong. He's God. Wherever you have your hope placed other than in God, I would suspect that you might want to check that out. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 5. John 15, verse 5. Jesus speaking. I'll start with verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And he meant that. Without me, you can do nothing. That wasn't just something to fill in a page that Jesus said. That's exactly what he meant. These are the words that his heavenly Father gave him to impart to people. These are the words penned in the Bible by God the Holy Spirit. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And God says without him, you can't do anything. So if you're trying to accomplish things, whatever they are, for the kingdom, for yourself, for your family, if you're doing it without him, you should expect to fail. Because he clearly explains here that without him, you won't succeed. Amen? Amen. It may appear successful at the beginning, but in the end, you'll find out where you missed the mark. Amen? From a look at these scriptures, we can clearly see that if we depend on our own strength and worldly means, it is quite possible that we will fail. When we anticipate failure, when it is a service that God has called us to offer, not only are we doubting ourselves, but we are doubting the Lord and the power of his word. We are doubting the Lord and the power of his word. Let's turn over to Romans just a minute. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, and I'm going to begin with verse 20. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Who's answering back to God? Who's talking back? Who's talking back to God? Well, we all have at some point. We all have at some point. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Well, why is my life like this? Why is this happening to me? Why me? Is that what you have to say? Verse 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Can't God do what he wants to do? Must we have our way all the time? Can't we go through anything? Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. Shouldn't we? He was our example and still is. Luke chapter 1, flip back a few pages. The Gospel of Luke chapter 1. We're going to talk a little bit about somebody, so to speak. Luke chapter 1, verse 13. Verse 13. On second thought, I'm just going to go on and start at verse 5 and take it on through. When you get there, thank the Lord. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah, and of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Fear fell upon him. So now you know all these people that tell you they saw this angel and that angel and they didn't hit the floor flat, they lie. But the angel said unto him, fear not. Evidently, angels look quite fearful. They look awesome in power. You see one, you are going to be asking to see another one. Amen? Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. So for all of our pregnant members, a child can be filled with the Holy Ghost in the womb. John the Baptist was not the only one. It is possible for a child to be filled with the Spirit of God in the womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You have to be prepared for the visitation of the Lord, saints. And we at Miracle are trying to be ready for that moment. Amen. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? Shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. Now he's going to question Gabriel, and not in a nice way. He's looking at the natural circumstances, saying, well, how's this going to happen? This can't possibly happen because I'm old, my wife is old, and because we're so old, nothing like this could possibly happen. That's really what he's saying. Gabriel didn't appreciate his response, however. You see, Gabriel was always in the presence of the Lord. All he went to do is tell people things that God Almighty said. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak. There's a judgment for unbelief. There is a judgment for doubt, fear, and unbelief.
Amen.
There is a judgment for doubt, fear, and unbelief. And when you find yourself in doubt, fear, and unbelief, repent and ask the Lord to help you get out of doubt, fear, and unbelief. Amen? Because there is a quick and swift judgment for it, as we see here. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my word. The judgment came because he didn't believe the word of God. And when we don't believe it, we get judged too and bring a curse upon ourselves. And curses are enforced by demon spirit. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he'd seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. So you see here, God did what he said he would do. God did what he said he would do. We've studied this, that God's word does not return to him void, but it accomplishes what he wills in the thing whereto he sent it. God's word didn't fail. God didn't fail, but Zechariah did fail. Now, in verse 57, now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son, just like God said. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zechariah, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. Amen. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loose, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these things were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. You see, saints, when we are not pressuring ourselves to perform, when we acknowledge before the Lord how weak and incapable we feel, when we are not trying to impress others, when we are not promoting ourselves, then God is able to work his miraculous power through our lives and situations. Let's visit Isaiah chapter 40. You see, Zechariah had to learn a lesson. God never failed. And when we line up with God, we won't fail. And we'll start with verse 28. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 is where we will begin. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You see, it's possible to have your strength renewed when you run out. Just because your gas tank goes empty doesn't mean you can't fill it up again if you go to the right source. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall walk and not faint. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to skip that one. Let's go on to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You see, God makes a way where there is no way seen to us. Just because you can't see the way doesn't mean there isn't a way. You just need the blind man healer to touch your eye. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God's strength is made perfect in us when we're not such suchy-muchies, when we're not all that, when we're not the potato chip, the crunch, the salt, and the crinkle too. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Why? Because suddenly I figured out that I better trust the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, some of us, it would do us well to land on our bottoms every now and then. We might finally figure out that all that strength wasn't us anyway. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Well, now, how else did we think we were going to get one? There is no new way to get one, you know. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and they're still being upheld by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had the testimony, what? That he pleased God. He had the testimony that his life actually pleased God. Not other people, not himself, God Almighty. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, with reverence for God, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. Somebody highlight obeyed. Get your highlighter out and put it on obeyed, because that's not what most of us do. Amen. Highlight obeyed. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Now that's some strength. She had to get strength just to conceive. Amen? She had to get strength just to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged. She considered him faithful who had promised. He promised me, and he won't let me down. He promised me. He can't fail. He promised me, so I'm going to keep my hope in him, not in the circumstances. He promised me. He promised me he'd save me. He promised me he'd heal me. He promised me he'd give me a child. He won't fail me. No matter what happens, he won't fail me. Amen? How much faith do we give God? How much faith? How much faith do we give God? Do we really believe that he'll do what he promised? Do we really believe that? Why not depend on God? All these did, and all of them succeeded. When we choose to place our trust completely in God, and we do those tasks in the natural that we ought to do, we have nothing to fear because there is no failure in our God. Let's go to Numbers 23. Numbers 23. You see, you can't blame it on this one or that one or the other. God doesn't allow for that. you have to look to him. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? So tell me, what do you really believe about God? Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. What do you really believe about God? Do you believe that he'll do everything he's promised you that he's going to do? No matter how it looks and no matter what happens, do you really believe the Lord? Job chapter 2 and verse 2. Job said, I know that thou canst do everything. I know. He had it down in his knower. He sought the Lord, he tried the Lord, and he had it in his knower that God can do everything. Maybe we should listen to Job today. Psalm 37, Book of Psalms, Psalm 37. And verse 5, Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Did he say you were going to bring it to pass, or did he say he would? Who did he say would bring it to pass? He said he would. That would give you room to do something else, wouldn't it? Whatever he's telling you to do. Psalm 55, verse 22. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. It didn't say you sustain you. It said he would. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. My, do we believe that? Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. And verse 27. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Perhaps you should answer him there. He's waiting for an answer from you. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to verse 28. Some blind men came to Jesus and asked Jesus to have mercy on them. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, and he's saying it to you right now, believe ye that I am able to do this? Do you really believe that God is able to do what you're trying to believe him for? He would like an answer from you today. Please don't leave church without answering him. Amen. He wants to know if you really do believe him. And only you can answer that question. Matthew chapter 19, a few pages over. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Jesus speaking. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
We need not fear the past. Let's flip back to Isaiah. Isaiah has something. He doesn't want to be left out of this. Isaiah chapter 43. And I'm going to start with verse 18. Isaiah 43, verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Okay, it's time to stop looking at what happened the last time. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And only God can do these things, you see. Nor should we fear the future. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Well, that means the answer is not between your two ears. It's not there. Stop looking for it there. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And who shall direct thy path? He shall direct thy path. That means you're not going to do it your way. Not this time. Not this time. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's how to succeed. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So you see, when you factor God out of it, you plan to fail. Or more likely, you fail to plan properly. Unlike Zechariah, we need to believe God. We need to obey his word. Let's see what Joshua thought of it. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We need to believe God and we need to obey his word. Verse 8. No, we're going to start at verse 6. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Be strong and of good courage. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. So it seems to me lying, doubt, unbelief, and fear shouldn't be coming out of your mouth, because this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Amen. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So that doesn't leave much room for CNN, because you're meditating on this day and night. That doesn't leave much room for Fox either, or MSNBC. If you're meditating therein day and night, how is it you ever heard about them four dreams? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. He's told us three times in a couple of breaths to be strong and of good courage, not to be afraid, meditate on his word, keep it out of our mouth, and then we're going to be successful. I think that's a plan. What about you? I think that's a plan. I think that's the only plan that really works anyway. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Verse 9. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them that ye may prosper in all that you do. You might want to highlight that one. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them that ye may prosper in all that you do. In other words, you can't afford to forget what he said. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 20. Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Jesus was the last prophet he sent to the old church, the Jewish people. And he told them, quite frankly, believe his prophets. Why? Because he sent them with his words. And if they listened and obeyed, they would prosper. You suppose that could happen to us? Let's go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, the very first one. Psalm 1. Beginning with verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, what shall prosper? Amen. We apologize for that small technical interruption. Praise the Lord. They got sound? Amen?
Yes.
Okay, James chapter 1, verse 25. We did not leave you. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. And in the next verse, you can read on your own, he talks about keeping your mouth shut. How about that? We need to keep our focus on Jesus and his promises to us. And since we've already memorized Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, during the fast, we won't go there. But we will go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. That keeping your mouth shut is real important. Don't skip that one. Go back and study that. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Jehoshaphat had problems. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side, Syria. And behold, they be at Hazarzon Tamar, which is at Endijah. And Jehoshaphat feared. See, he went into fear. Okay, here comes the problem. I'm scared. And set himself to seek the Lord. Now, that's the thing he did right. He set himself to seek and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Can you believe it? And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. You mean they didn't come up with a plan? They didn't go into the military strategy room and start cooking up a strategy? They actually decided to seek the Lord and go on a fast. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem and the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? So, okay, God, you're God. There's nobody besides you. Who's going to get up in your face today?
Yes.
Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwell therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name's sake. If, when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Stand on the word, whatever you do. Stand on the word. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us. Look at what's happening. To come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. So, Lord, you see what these people are doing to us. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. We're not trying to cook up our own schemes. Our eyes are upon thee. We're waiting for what you say, Lord. We're waiting to hear from you. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Nobody was left at home. Everybody participated in this fast. Everybody was seeking the Lord. Amen. Verse 15. Wait a minute. Let me back up to 14. And so they got together, and the Levites were there, and came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Wow. They sought the Lord till he showed up. They didn't do the fast for 2 days and quit. They hung in there till God came and rained righteousness upon them. And he said, hearken, all ye Judah and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Isn't that what we want to hear? But you see, these people got their act together. They went to God first. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliffs of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Take a deep breath. Exhale. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now, saints, that only happens when you seek the Lord. That only happens when you seek the Lord. That only happens when you seek the Lord. And if you read all the way to the end of the chapter, you'll find in verse 30, after the Lord had delivered them, so the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet. No more war? Why? For his God gave him rest round about. They didn't have to keep going through this over and over again. When we do what Jehoshaphat did, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Not in his own opinion, but what was right in God's eyes. when we are pressing to obey the Lord's will and not merely our own, he will cause us to succeed. He will cause us to succeed. Let's go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. When we do what's right in God's eyes, he will cause us to succeed. He will see to it. If it's something we don't know, he'll send somebody by to tell us about it. Verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That means you don't order them, the Lord does. And he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Psalm 94. Verse 17. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. That's the God that we serve. He won't let us fall through the cracks. First Kings chapter 8 and verse 56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. God kept his word. He kept his word. Can the church say he kept his word? There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. Not one word of all his good promise has failed us. God is able to do whatever he has promised. The whole world is held in place by the word of his power. Surely he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to his power at work in us. Saints, we need to discover the exceeding greatness of his power that is released to those who believe him. If we lean on our God, he will bring us through to success and triumph. If we lean on our God, he will bring us through to success and triumph. So tell me, why would we fail? If God is on our side, who can be against us? Amen. And now the benediction. But just before the benediction, the Holy Spirit reminded me of something. I need to give an announcement. The next corporate church fast will be in September of this year. God expects full participation. Details will be provided when needed. Amen? And now the benediction. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the church said, amen. Praise the Lord. We're so happy you could join us today. God bless you. And join us again on Wednesday evening. at 6:30 p.m.
You know, Jesus Christ is Lord. And he's given a call to you today. He wants to come and live into your heart, be your personal Savior. And the only thing that you have to do is just tell him you're sorry for your sins. Ask him to come and be your personal Savior. Oh, yes, he'll come in. He'll be right there. And the wonderful, wonderful thing about it is this. He'll be there from now until the end of the world. And then you'll meet him face to face. And you'll know that this very day that you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord. Would you say a prayer with me today? Dear God, I'm a sinner. And I know that I failed. But that's why you came and died on the cross for me. And I ask you, oh God, that you will forgive me of my sins. Yeah, that's right. Just ask him to come in now. He's waiting for you. Just ask him to come in now. Yes, there he is. There he is. See, I told you. Don't you feel wonderful now? Don't you feel clean? Don't you feel marvelous? Just because he died on the cross for you. He's your Lord. He's your King. He's today your Messiah. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.